Vale, dame un tiene que deba de bada, tu mami de bada, si da tu mala chaco, guare, si da tu mala chaco, venza, y que tu mala ya queda, viene yo a de cava cava, yo le sé de dinero, si yo que hago, voy a de que chimo chaco, va, ni en zada, y que tu mala yo sé que dan, y que tu mala chaco, venza, tu mala yo sé que tu odida, yo sé ni de da, cova, cova le neva, y na, cova ni chasana tu mala yo guare, si na le queda, y que.
Good evening. All of us wanting to experience happiness and be freed of suffering, having this as an underlying motivation leads us to want to eradicate suffering, gain freedom from suffering. And to do so, one has to understand the causes of suffering. And the cause of suffering, you could just put it down to, as long as one is bound in this prison of samsara, one suffers. Wherever one takes rebirth in these suffering realms, one suffers. And there is no suffering more intense than what is experienced by beings in the lower realms. So in order to bring about an end to the accumulation of causes that could potentially lead to our falling into the lower realms, we need to understand what is being experienced there right now, what is potentially awaiting us. And it's through understanding this that we'll develop the determined focus of mind to abandon the causes that would otherwise lead to rebirth in the lower realms.
Is that the Niki Ganga Yuba and the Tiliak and Sti Ganga Yuba, Kasmatunyako Shirwa, Chitanyawa like Yudikares and the Diva Sayadiki, Chitaniki, Mava Sayadi, Dangan to get Tetelia, Nanaju Tatu Jehako of Yuba, and Dangan to Diva Pan, Diva Saldo Sama Juba, Diva Nyama. Sasha by Nedipani, Betoshuko and the Pashaja, Lucy, Mavasu, Tablam Yoba, the Dingi, Tablam Jevaina, and Joachima, Ma, Nasolma, Jemoja, and the Dindri de la Gituiana, and Dindri de la Divina, and Dindri de la Dindugi, and the Digituia, and Dindera Yansusurangi, Jinya Menchevaina, and the Jiki Tabuko Wantotuya, Dine, and Semja Tamjiki, the Sayoko Motuki, Yamengi Chasan, Rimbaji, Dindri de la Gituina, Dinchevajin. Dinigi,
Rebirth in the lower realms comes about independence and causes, and the cause in brief is non-virtue. Non-virtue accumulated, if ripening at the time of death, will lead to rebirth in the lower realms. This we need to understand because right now each of us has this rare and precious opportunity where we can actually change the trajectory of our future rebirths. We can develop ever greater certainty in attaining good rebirths by turning away from the causes that would otherwise lead to rebirth in the lower realms, and rather striving in the accumulation of causes that will lead to ongoing excellent rebirths. We are part of those fortunate few who have a rebirth where we can intentionally impact the lives that are still to be experienced. And with a wish then to gain freedom from rebirths in the lower realms, to give rise to a determination for freedom from rebirth in the lower realms, one has to have an understanding of what is being experienced and what potentially awaits us, so that one gives rise to determination. I want to gain liberation from at least the possibility of being reborn there. I want to bring a complete cessation to the possibility of being reborn there. Rather, I want to be focused on accumulating the causes that will lead to ongoing excellent rebirths, which means I can continue my spiritual journey, accumulating causes that will lead to my eventual liberation from cyclic existence and attainment of enlightenment, so that I can help guide other beings who also yearn for happiness, guide them to abandon the causes for rebirth in the lower realms, and guide them to attain liberation and enlightenment. So therefore, by understanding the situation in samsara in detail, including their situation in the lower realms, it leads to us to develop a determination to transform our life, to practice with a bigger and a determination to cultivate the causes that will lead to freedom from suffering. Last time we looked at the presentation on the hot hills and the neighboring hills. Now we come to the presentation on the cold hills. So in the handout, it's on the top of page 109, and in the published book, the middle of page
94.
So we'll go through now the experiences of what is being experienced in the various cold hells. The cold hells are situated outside the eight great hells of sentient beings, each at a distance of 10,000 yojanas. 32,000 yojanas below here is blisters, followed by the other seven cold hells, each separated by 2,000 yojanas from the one above. So this is a general layout of the locations of the cold hells.
And then
There are eight different cold hells, and they are in a sequence of where a growing intensity of suffering. So it starts with a hell called blisters, one, then bursting blisters, then chattering teeth, crying, moaning, splitting apart like an utpala flower, splitting apart like a lotus, and great splitting apart like a lotus. So these then are the eight cold hells, which are in a sequence of growing intensity of suffering. So to look at the first one, In blisters, you are hit by strong icy winds and shrink from the cold while blisters appear all over your body. As one then goes to the next, which is the second of these cold hells, that of bursting blisters, there you'll see from the description the intensity of the cold and therefore suffering grows. This process continues in terms of the intensity of the suffering with the next group of the next three cold hells, which the name describes the sounds being uttered there. Chattering teeth, crying, and moaning. So in each of these, the suffering is growing in its intensity as the cold becomes ever more intense.
That is a mean that the sick to look at the top of the horse, who knows that the nigger to one yonder couple of sick in the ring and the ushers that I use on the eight in the mean top of this mean that
the name that is given to these three hells, chattering teeth, crying, and moaning. It's named after the sounds made by the being suffering
there.
The next is splitting apart like an utpala flower. As you are hit by strong icy winds, you turn blue in color and split apart into five or six pieces. So this is likened then to the utpala flower, which is the color of blue, and one breaks apart as if a flower has petals, but one's body bursts because of the intense cold.
With the
growing intensity, the further growing intensity of cold, one gets to the next cold hell, where the color of the body once again changes, as well as the number of pieces the body splits into. And again, this marks the growing cold and the suffering experienced. In splitting apart like a lotus, you pass beyond blue and turn red, splitting apart into 10 or more pieces.
Ale, marcelos. Tisa da pema de kebas. Delia, pema de cher keba, de jibema de keba, one da pema de cher keba, dile marcelos. Tisa, de baba de gema, but a dile, de jisera de tadi, njalas of the marchek in Tuski or a set, didwa.
The final one, in great splitting apart like a lotus, your skin turns deep red and you split apart into 100 or even more pieces. So what you see here in these last three, this ongoing progression of cold and therefore suffering as the being shows signs of the more intense cold and pain. Then Lama Tsongkhapa quotes the source for this presentation, which is, all this is explained in levels of yogic practice. So then, further description of these cold hells continues. Just to say here in our second line in English, I've made a couple of changes. As for lifespan, it is stated that if you were to fill a storage container up to the brim with 80 bushels of sesame seeds, as it is measured in Magadha, and take out one sesame seed every 100 years, the lifespan in the hell of blisters would last far longer than it takes for the sesame seeds to be completely exhausted. And the lifespan in each hell being below, for each hell below, is 20 times that of the previous one. To give an illustration of the great duration of the lifespan in the lightest of these cold hells, an illustration is given. So Magadha would have been an area in India where bushels of sesame seeds would have grown. So they're perhaps at a major market for these. So they're saying, yeah, so it's 80 bushels of sesame seeds as is measured in Magadha. So this is perhaps something that was well known at the time. And then if one were to imagine the size of what that would be, and removing just a single seed every 100 years, one could imagine how long it would take to empty that container of all the sesame seeds. And that's the length of the lifespan in the first hell, that of blisters. As we see in the final part of this paragraph, the lifespan in each hell below is 20 times that of the previous one. So here we, what is being presented is that not only is the suffering more intense as one in the progressive cold hells, but the lifespan is longer. So not only does each being there suffer more, but they have to do so for an even longer inconceivable span of time. From this then, one can understand that not only would one have to suffer for an incredibly long period of time, but that suffering would be unbearable for that entire period. Then the occasional hells. The occasional hells adorn the hot and cold hells. Levels of yogi practice says that they also exist in the lands of humans, and chapters on the Vinaya says that they exist near the shores of great lakes, as depicted in the story of Shankarakshita. For beings born in these various hells, they all, because they are in similar environments, whether they're in a particular hot hell, a particular cold hell, or neighboring hell, or here an occasional hell, they share common karma. Hence, they are born in a particular realm, a particular realm of hell. Just to correct that slightly, so I'll say, repeat with a correction the previous segment and then say the new part as well. So beings who are born in the hot hells, and the cold hells, and the neighboring hells, so in those three groups, those beings within each hell within those groups, they all share a common karma. Hence, they are born together in a particular cold hell or a particular hot hell or a particular neighboring hell. So they share some kind of common karma in a way that us human beings or as beings here in this world, we share common karma. But the beings, it's slightly different for those in the occasional hells, where these are far more individual specific and as opposed to being, maybe to say, group experience. These are more of an individual experience. And the general location of the occasional hells is that they join the hot and cold hells, and they also exist in the lands of humans. And where in the human realm would one possibly find occasional hells? Well, as the Buddha taught in the chapters on the Vinaya, that they exist near shores of great lakes. As is depicted in the story of Shankarakshita. Namatsongkhapa continues. As explained below, it is very easy to create the causes of taking rebirth there. You accumulate many of them every day. And since those that you accumulated before are also innumerable, it is unwise to just sit around comfortably. You should think about them and be afraid, for nothing other than your precarious breathing separates you from them.
So looking at the first sentence from Namatsongkhapa here, as explained below, so this then refers to the following chapter, the chapter on karma. So as explained below, it is very easy to create the causes of taking rebirth there. So there we should understand to refer to the occasional hells as well as the cold hells, the neighboring hells, and the hot hells. So it's very easy to create the causes to be reborn in the hell realms. And Namatsongkhapa continues, you accumulate many of them every day. And the causes, in brief, are non-virtue. It is non-virtue that leads to rebirth in the lower realms.
다들 디바살도 사바디앙진 지사야게베 두부 디바사야딜레라 오시 중베 람스 중에 오시고르세 디르와당은 벤데 코로나야 도신 람사 지 뜻만 람사 코로나야 지기로바 안지 유유로지 단지 니 람사델레야 차바게야라 지초조로 차고로바 지나레라 오르세 두두와 지나데네자 당 응아르사장사 네니마네 당은 코와 토마 니마네 사셰비제 바도 베만스기로 유여버 와서 데네기
It is very easy to create the causes of taking rebirth in the lower realms. This is, we can recognize from our own experience, it doesn't take much for anger to arise. And it takes even less for attachment to arise. Our afflictions arise within us so easily. And when we're not aware, we act under their influence. And thereby we create the causes that should they ripen into a propelling karma, can only lead to rebirth in the suffering lower realms. So therefore, it is really not at all difficult to us to accrue non-virtuous karma, as Lama Tsongkhapa continues. And since those that you accumulated before are also immeasurable, so we have on our continuum the store of non-virtue from past lives, which we with such ease and regularity keep adding to.
Divonkiru Majibachi and Hulish Yomaris or Jisa, the Niggas Samtaba, and Yawa Sanyata, Tanyata, and Yehovi, Yawa Seta, Nisi, Yawa, Dumadu, Sinekanga, some Deniki, Dumadiki, some the Hawodu, or that the Niki, Jagi, Divasai, the Lelo, which was Chadiore, Chisata, Yema Mongosasha Yore, Sabi Yore, Chisata, the Dang to Karchi or Sena, Delema, Majagi, Jagi, Judisa, Lelo inza. だてんが送動も違うで、送、ディパパ送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、送、
Namatsukapa continues, it is unwise to just sit around comfortably. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa is pointing out to the confusion, the ignorance confusion that dominates our minds. He's pointing out to each of us explicitly, you are sitting here relaxed, enjoying your life, enjoying the pleasures of the high realm rebirth, relaxing as if freedom had been attained, relaxing as if
there were no possibility of such a rebirth for you. But this is just your confused ignorance. Rather, through hearing a presentation, understanding the causes that lead to such rebirths, what should arise within one is a fear, an apprehension of such a rebirth. And that then leads to one to be cautious in relation to our inner workings, what's going on in our mind, ensuring that we strive then to take care of our mind, to guard against coming under the influence of the afflictions. In other words, to be watchful over our own mind and thereby our physical and verbal activity. This is the purpose of this presentation. It's presented here by the Buddha, Lama Tsongkhapa, to shake us from this confused ignorance and to recognize that we need to do two things. We need to guard our mind now to prevent the accumulation of new non-virtue, and at the same time, we need to confess and purify already accumulated non-virtue. Thereby, through relying on the skillful technique of the four opponent powers, we can do both. We can refrain from accumulating a non-virtue anew, as well as purify what has already been accumulated. So this determination, the strength of mind that makes our practice serious and strong, this comes from reflecting well on topics such as this, and doing so repeatedly, leading to a stable, focused mind, and thereby a practice that is transformational in its power.
Lama Tsongkhapa continues, you should think about them and be afraid. Them referring to the non-virtue that we have accumulated. And here this requires us to be honest with ourselves, recognizing that there are times in this life when we have accumulated powerful non-virtue that is newly abiding on our continuum. And there is no way we can say with any basis that we have come into this life without a mind tainted by non-virtue from past lives. There's no way we can make such a claim about ourselves. And therefore, any confidence we have that such a fate could not befall us is ignorant in the extreme. So therefore, we should think about this, that as an ordinary person, I will have such imprints on my continuum. Therefore, I need to both take care, I need to guard my mind, and I need to purify past misdeeds.
In
Lama Tsongkhapa concludes here. For nothing other than your precarious breathing separates you from them. So this we should read again and again until it strikes us awake from our slumber. Because we still live with this confusion that we have plenty of time. And yes, I may have done some wrong in my life, but I will purify that later. I will have an opportunity before death comes. I will do it later. As if we were expecting some kind of signpost saying these are our final days or weeks. As if we could have any certainty that as death approaches, we would have the strength of mind to be able to purify with vigor. We may even think that between the ending of this life and the potential rebirth in the lower realms, but there'll be many other lifetimes and I can purify then. This is equally deluded. None of us knows when our death is coming. It can come at any time. None of us can say with any certainty whether tomorrow will be our final day or whether we'll even see tonight. And moreover, none of us can say with any certainty where our next rebirth will be, what our next body will be. This needs to be reflected on to give us a sense of urgency that now is the time to bring an end to non-virtue and to strive in purification. The source for why Lama Tsongkhapa is just presented is from Shantideva's entering the Bodhisattva way. Having created the karma for hell, how can you sit there comfortably?
And then
from letter to a friend, harm doers are separated from hell only by the time it takes for their breathing to stop. Those who hear about the boundless torments of hell are not terrified in a thousand ways, are hard like
vagrants.
Look in the first two lines. wrongdoers are separated from hell only by the time it takes for their breathing to stop. So this too is the source of what Lama Tsongkhapa presented above. So when death comes, should rebirth be in hell? It is immediate. There isn't a period in between. One immediately, spontaneously takes rebirth there. So those of us who have these causes for such a rebirth on our continuum, we should be aware that such a rebirth could come at any time. Therefore, there should be a sense of urgency for our transformation.
Those who hear about the boundless torments of hell and are not terrified. So this refers to, we've just very, very briefly gone through this presentation. But even from a brief presentation like this, if one hears about that the suffering that is being experienced there may well again have to be experienced by ourselves. For such a person who hears a presentation like this and it doesn't strike them in their heart, then they approach this more as if it was a story or something relevant to others. Then they are here likened to being hard like a vajra, that this can not even a presentation like this can touch them. If one hears a presentation such as this and it doesn't shake you to the core, but it just washes off you as if it is just something like a story or not relevant to you, just to others, then you really are in grave danger. Still from Letter to a Friend. If seeing, hearing, remembering, and reading descriptions of hell and their depictions gives rise to fear, then there is no question about the experience of the unbearable, fully ripened effects.
Then で、ね、きっぺね、庭をこう、ジュムチェアだ。ひも、ディシェバ、トンヤだ。で、ね、トンヤで、セミナー、オート、シェナーだ。セミナー、マジブ、ムドワス。ジンアンズ、パーロウ、トンヤだ。ジュムロウ、チェバ、セミナー、ディネギ、マジバだ。シェナー、ユングウェバね。もう、そう、メニケバネ、カネシングレ、カネ、ドゥマ、シェナーだ、ドゥマ、カネシングレ、モスケバネ。ディレタ、シュウジングラン、パーダ、ジュモダ。ディネギ、ネスル、ジュムロウ、チェバ、セミナー、ディレ、セミナー、マジバ、シェナー、ギブ、ワンダ。
The second verse then refers to those who started in the order, if seen, so those who see depictions of hell, so perhaps these will be murals or fountains, or hearing, so hearing teachings such as this, remembering, so reflecting, engaging in the meditations as described, as well as reading texts which are giving descriptions of hell and their depictions, so again, referring to illustrations. Those who engage in this process as guided will give rise to fear. They will give rise to fear. And if merely hearing about how others are suffering and what the suffering that may well befall one, may well befall oneself, if that leads to fear, then we can appreciate just what it would be like to be born there. And this is important, to come to such a conclusion, because that will lead one to seek out the causes and ensure they do not impact one. One refrains and purifies. This then, if fear does arise from hearing descriptions like this, if one does relate to the teachings in the way that intended, which is as personal instruction, then it will lead one to reflect deeply on the causes that will lead to such potential rebirths, and to refrain and purify so as to utilize this opportunity, whatever remains, to close the door to falling into such a lower
realm. Dishin dunga kunye nane ni narme nyewe dunga rabmi se dina yinji dung tung sumje yi rabdu jagdab dunga kangla pa dine nyewe dunga chungu lang wol ya mi ji chal ya mi pwe do shi sun so osa shi so osa shi sun so sene shi so a
The intense suffering is also described in letter to your friend. So Lama Tsongkhapa quotes the next two verses. Just as the bliss of the extinction of craving is supreme among all kinds of bliss, likewise, among all kinds of suffering, those of Avicii are the most unbearable. The suffering of being brutally stabbed in one day by 300 spears does not approximate and cannot compare to even the smallest suffering of hell.
On the niggas in the dang, you get the win and they watch all the cuba. They walk with your nana, say, Seba, say, they watch all the cuba, the caress and the dang, you get Nyomoba, Nyomoba, Pompey, Pompa, 타르바 토바이나 세바 세바지 코발레 저기 타르바 코와기 지윤 윤요모바 세바디 파빵바이나 데네 대화 대외 다보기와 지다와 대외 다보레스 대화 초도 유바데스 오다 대화 군지 나나 세 세바 세데 세바 코발레 계와지 윤요모바 세빵바이나 윤요모바 세바선 제가 다 누명이 뭐 사본에 제가 차산 방바 있는 방비 타르비 고바 토바 있나 얘네 대외 다고 샤들 대와 다고 나지 다고 나래시 제가데 니 대외 기진나다 대외 또 어디 톱사래 제가 대이 대와 얘네 대와는 대와면 누가 전에 용하여 말 와서
Just as the bliss of the extinction of craving is supreme amongst all kinds of bliss or happiness. The extinction of craving, this comes when the affliction together with their seeds have been abandoned. Then one achieves lasting, stable happiness. And this lasting, stable happiness is supreme amongst all kinds of happiness because it is lasting. One will never once again experience any form of suffering, pain, or misery. This is what's achieved when the causes of suffering are eradicated.
That's She had the garret to Mosna, the Jing and Sung, my new Duma di Pa, Dinigas, some that Dinni, Dinni Gudigasa, Lelabur, Sida Dinneza, Yema Sasha by your Sida Dinigasa, do some dance, Susuki, Nimbotin, and the chicken, Sutum Song, Delia, Nimbotin, Tamil Potubation, Nimbotin, Gomje, Lucine, Sutum Son, and Ye, Ye, Savanumo, but because of Dipa Sava Sama Juba, Sutum Song, Songa.
The word translated as bliss, it's a normal translation, but I'd rather stay with happiness because it fits the explanation better. So there are many types of happiness and we long for happiness, we strive for happiness, but we have never experienced supreme happiness. No human being, no ordinary human being, no God has ever experienced supreme happiness. So therefore, the happiness that we yearn for, the happiness that others brag about, this is nothing compared to what is being described here, supreme amongst all kinds of happiness. This is the happiness that comes through attaining liberation. So the position we find ourselves in now is that as an ordinary person, we can recognize how easy it is for us still to accumulate the causes for suffering. And we can thereby also, by looking back over this life, and can understand in previous lives too, we have accumulated an immense store of non-virtue. So because it's so easy to accumulate non-virtue, and that it is actually quite difficult for us to achieve a dominance of happiness, we recognize there's a need to bring about some urgent change, to embrace this opportunity, to utilize this opportunity that this life presents, to utilize it fully. All that is required is, with consistency, to apply the training that we are each receiving. To apply this training, thereby we will be able to radically transform our situation. What is required is just this: refraining from the afflictions and purifying past non-virtue. And this is done through accumulating ever stronger wholesome minds, virtuous minds. In particular, cultivating the foundation of ethical restraint, and then embellishing that virtue, that is ethical restraint, with its companion accumulations, in particular with the wisdom realizing emptiness. This is the technique by which each of us can and will eventually achieve supreme happiness. This happiness that amongst all kinds is supreme. So we need to establish a determination to close the door to potential rebirth in the lower realms and to achieve the supreme state of happiness through cultivating the causes of generosity, ethical restraint, patience, enthusiastic perseverance, concentration, and with concentration, engage in the cultivation of the wisdom realizing emptiness. This is the path, and it's possible for all of us.
Nagarjuna continues, likewise, amongst all kinds of sufferings, the sufferings that we are so familiar with from this life, the sufferings of humans, as well as the sufferings of the gods, the sufferings of beings bound in the lower realms, of animals, of spirits, and the various classes of beings suffering in the hells, those suffering in the hot hells, those suffering in the neighboring hells, those suffering in the cold hells, and those suffering in the occasional hells. Amongst all of these various forms of suffering that characterize samsaric existence, those of Avicii are the most unbearable.
Nimi Dinigi, Zoja, but Shuk Chambo, the Dinisid, Nazida, Duma, Gazit Yorwa. Chidan, the Yorit, the Dinua, the Anjuki, Din Duma, the Neve Duma Sibaina, Neve Duma Chung Lang, Neve Duma, and Neve Duma Chung Chung, the New Adele, Dilera, Chicka, Neve Duma Chung, the Dilet, Tabugida, Pesic, Kaja, Kuju, Hagi, Duma Chega, that's what. Chidan, and to give me sit saying, I'll give you. You can do it.
The final verse from Letter to a Friend. The suffering of being brutally stabbed in one day by 300 spears. So this is something that, of course, can and has happened many times in our human realm. And what it's pointing to is an analogy of something that we could understand as a human being as being an intense suffering experience. So whatever intense suffering experience as a human being one has experienced or can imagine, and the verse continues, does not approximate and cannot compare to even the smallest suffering of hell. So what generally what we strive to avert and we worry about and we plan to overcome, this is nothing compared to even the slightest of sufferings that potentially await us. So this is important to recognize, to gain some valid perspective.
Mm-hmm. Kasa tali jiyue yi bèdè es, dìnyi lès, bèhù lès, nò du xin bèdè es.
The Lama Tsongkhapa continues, you need to understand that the cause giving rise to such suffering is your own faulty behavior alone. Strive with all your might not to be tainted by even the slightest faulty action.
The
Lama Tsongkhapa is saying in the first sentence, you need to understand that the cause giving rise to such suffering is your own faulty behavior alone. So this points very clearly to our afflicted motivation. When our motivation is, our mind is dominated by the afflictions and behavior follows, this is how we create the causes of suffering. That is the only reason why we suffer. So to point a finger of blame to others, this is completely deluded. So we recognize that we are the cause of our own suffering. And by recognizing this, this is empowering. It means by refraining from such causes, we can bring about a radical change to what we experience. And this is made, this point is made further in the second sentence. Strive with all your might not to be tainted by even the slightest faulty action. So be determined. Do not allow yourself to be deceived by the afflictions that says, this doesn't matter. This is minor. Compared to other things, this is no problem. This is how we end up engaging in grave non-virtue, to refrain even from minor infractions.
And the Nilis, that is, she didn't say, right? The Nilis, Migi, Jenam,
Lama Tsongkhapa once again quotes from Letter to a Friend. The seeds of these non-virtuous effects are your faulty behavior, body, speech, and mind. With all your skill, make every effort not to commit even the slightest negative deed. Clearly, this verse then is the source of what Lama Tsongkhapa has just said. So the seeds of those non-virtuous effects are your faulty behavior of body, speech, and mind. Every suffering experience that we ever have and ever will encounter is due to our own faulty behavior. The third line references with all your skill. So it's who, the person being addressed is the friend to whom the letter Nagarjuna composed and sent this letter, which it was a king in ancient India. So with all your skill, you, O king. But it's, of course, we take it in reference to ourselves, that we therefore must make every effort not to commit even the slightest negative deed. So here, Nagarjuna is writing in a very strong sense, it would be with an imperative, maybe an exclamation mark, that we need to both purify and refrain from non-virtue.
Now, and the Jenny Samya, and Jim Molam Tayala Soba, then a Susugita, Nibala Babi, then again, Jinny Sinia Comiala Soba, then a dummy because some dialogue soba, or the Jaminji or some double do the Karchevina, like your server, which is that in it on him. Some dumb way did that, Tibon Kirupche said in Yamin, Tisha, Yum Jenny, the Esada, since I didn't Chevina, Susugu, Muchevin, since I gave a chimanga son to Skiwa Marin, Yavat Kiwa, Yawa Majin, maybe to my young Maria.
Now, having concluded looking at the hell realms, where we've looked very briefly at the eight hot hells, the eight cold hells, as well as the presentation briefly on the neighboring and occasional hells, we've gained some knowledge about the experience that a huge number of beings are having to endure, an experience that we would have had in lives past and may well have in lives future. So as uncomfortable as it may well have been to hear this, having this knowledge, though, is empowering. Being ignorant of this reality, this does not serve anyone. But having this knowledge and thereby knowing there is something I can do about this, we then can actually utilize this precious opportunity that we each have attained, utilize it skillfully, utilize it well. So prompted by this knowledge, we can then search for the best course of action. And as we've heard, this means to accumulate and purify. But if we really take to heart this presentation, our regular or daily practices of accumulation and purification, we will bring a sustained strength and vigor to our practices, a seriousness to our practices. If we find that our practice sometimes is a bit of a recitation, going through the motions, by calling to mind the reality that is presented here, this we can use to stir our mind, to bring about a deep inner seriousness and persistence to our practice. So the four opponent powers are what we need to rely on. And within the overall context of the four opponent powers, one can make great effort perhaps in that of the antidotal power. By this, what I mean is you engage in various virtuous activities. If you make that the antidotal power by conjoining it with the other three opponent powers, in this way, when you engage in meditation on a topic, whether it's love, whether it's generosity, whether it's ethics, whether it's concentration or wisdom, whatever it may be. But if you do that then in the context of the other three opponent powers, you'll be purifying. Likewise, when you do offerings or you do some mantra recitation, if you do so as the antidotal power, one just conjoins it with the other three, confession and the basis and restraint, then one will both engage in extensive accumulation and purification. If you do so, particularly that of the opponent power of regret, through a reminding yourself of what you've heard here, this will bring about a seriousness and a persistence to your practice. And in this way, one will start to leave behind harmful and negative ways of thinking, and helpful, wholesome ways of thinking, they will become much more normal, more common within. Thank you. We'll conclude there for tonight. Thank you.